In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, may our attitude and spirit be like that of Samuel, who said, "Speak, O Lord, your servant hears."
Amen.
It is my understanding that we have at least 5 pregnant women in this congregation right now. God be praised for such the wonderful gift of children. It's all very exciting. But pregnancy is also a time of anticipation, of vulnerability, increased stress, and elevated danger. But how would I know this? I'm not a woman, nor have I ever had children. How do I know this? I know this because I, like you all, are part of the bride of Christ, the church. And much like how a pregnant wife longs to have her husband nearby to comfort her, provide for her, and to protect her, we, the church, long for these things from our husband, Christ. And all is right in the world when the wife is comforted by her husband. But sometimes the husband can't be there. And it's not necessarily because he wants to be away. It's not necessarily because he's out with the boys drinking beer and having fun, maybe playing golf with his cronies. Sometimes it's because there's work to be done, or because he's caught in traffic. Sometimes it's because he's been taken away by something else, whether it's another duty, forces of nature, confinement, or even death, as some of you may well know. For Christ, his disciples, and us, it is because Christ was going to the Father, as St. John tells us. Christ had come from the Father, come down from heaven, taking on human flesh in the virgin birth at Christmas. But Christ was to descend further, though. He descended into death, as far down as rock bottom goes. And once at absolute rock bottom, Christ would only have one direction to go, and that would be upward. And his first stop upward, ironically, of all places would be hell. Wait, how is hell the first part of Christ's exaltation? Well, it was in his descent into hell that Christ would proclaim his victory over Satan and his minions, as St. Peter tells us. Stop 2 in his exaltation was to rise from the dead on Easter morning. And then stop 3 was to ascend into heaven and thereby be away from his disciples and us today, to be out of sight. And Christ must be away. He must be out of sight. So to rule and reign and prepare a place for us in heaven. He has been highly exalted, as St. Paul tells us, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And although this is a noble task, we cannot help but to be sad in our loneliness. We cannot help our sorrow and anxiousness. We, the bride of Christ, long for Christ, our husband. And Jesus even warned his disciples that they would weep and lament after he disappeared from them. And indeed, his disciples did. Shortly after Jesus spoke these words to them, he was arrested, tried, and crucified. A grim yet noble duty had summoned. Jesus had to go through with the act of atonement, the act of salvation. And although the disciples had spent at least 3 years closely following our Lord, they could not get past the gruesome and sorrowful nature of his calling. They could not get past the fact that there was a price of blood, sweat, and tears to pay in order for Jesus to do his work. And when you and I stop to think about it, the price even shocks us sometimes. Sometimes pondering how Christ's blood covers even that one sin or misdeed that keeps us up at night is enough to move us to tears. And seemingly it only gets worse. The world rejoices over our sorrow. Jesus even warned his disciples that this would be the case. The world takes pleasure in our pain. It's like that German word that Pastor Jewel used a couple months ago in a sermon. Schadenfreude. That is, to take pleasure in somebody else's pain. As we no doubt remember in our Lord's Passion, it seemed as if anyone and everyone had some kind of mockery to throw at Jesus as he was crucified, and they reveled in it. Later on, in the later part of the first century AD, no doubt the masses took utter joy in seeing Christians being mauled and devoured by ravenous lions in the Roman Colosseum. And even in our world today, there is no shortage of the world's Schadenfreude, whether it's online, on the news, or standing right in front of us. The world's mockery is right in our faces, and they're enjoying every minute of it. And this takes a toll on us. Why would Jesus be with us only to abandon us? Why are we poked fun of? Where is our Jesus? Does he really love us? When will the new heavens and the new earth come? When will Christ return in glory to judge both the living and the dead? Was all this loneliness and longing really what we signed up for? Between our own sorrow and the world's mockery, we find ourselves in a very dark place. But the night is darkest just before the dawn. And when dawn comes, the earth is full of light. We may sorrow for now as the world only gets seemingly more hostile towards us Christians. We may sorrow over all our misfortunes and sufferings. But all of that will end. Our grief will become joy. That is God's promise. That was a promise he made and fulfilled multiple times over in the scriptures. For the elderly and childless Abraham and Sarah, it was to provide a son in their old age, Isaac. For the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, it was deliverance in the Exodus. For the widow of Zarephath and the widow of Nain, both of whose only sons died, leaving them without a husband and without any children, it was to have their boys resurrected. For the disciples who witnessed Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and death, it was to witness his resurrection, whether it was Thomas seeing the mark of the nails or the two disciples upon the Emmaus Road witnessing Christ in the revealed scriptures and the breaking of the bread. In all of these cases were great pain and sorrow. But upon deliverance, all memory of that pain and sorrow faded away and joy came rushing in. That's how it was for all these people throughout Holy Scripture. That's how it is for pregnant women giving birth, as our Lord tells us. The minute she delivers that baby into the world, all memory of that pain and suffering just a few moments ago seems to disappear. And that's how it is for you and me. We may grieve for all our constant sorrows. We might grimace because of the pain. But all of that will go away, and in its place we will have joy. So when we hear the resurrection proclaim, hear of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, we have that certain hope of the victory Christ has won. When we receive Christ's body and blood under bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, we physically receive Christ and the forgiveness which he brings. And I guess it turns out Christ, in a way, isn't so far away. And when this life ends, we will leave this valley of sorrow. We will go past this veil of tears. We'll be forever united with our Jesus, like a bride to her husband, and that joy will never go away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.